Back here on Downtown on a Tuesday afternoon, time to talk basketball. To do that, we turn to John Corrales, who joins us today from one of the great airports in America, right?
I'm at Charlotte. I'm in Charlotte, flying my way back from a lovely beach vacation in Miami.
Excellent. Good for you. Well, I trust your vacation went well. By the way, we want to send along a happy belated National Dog Day to Teddy and Speedy.
Yeah, my two guys. We got Teddy as a rescue, nice boxer mix, and then my wife said, well, I want something now too, and that's where a little Speedy, a little Yorkie mix comes along, but they're both tethered to me, so it's fun to walk like a 70-pound dog and a 70-pound dog next to each other.
Oh, absolutely. I struggle with one 60-pounder at my place here. John, tell us a little bit about your efforts at the Jaylen Brown pool workout.
Let me tell you, I couldn't do what he does in the kiddie pool, but the workouts for Jaylen, it's another summer of getting into the pool and kind of pushing your limits down there, man. That's a very difficult workout, but the beauty of it is it's difficult, but it's not high strain, high stress, high impact. It just really tips your cardio, and it really works on your fast twitch fibers. So it's a great way to get an incredible workout, and we saw the results of it this past season. So at my age, my pool, like I just said, what I was just doing in the pool is much more a quote-unquote workout for me, floating around and having a daiquiri waiting for me poolside. Jaylen is doing it the right way for a guy at the height of his basketball powers.
Yeah, I have to say, though, I think your pool workout is one that I could easily embrace.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure I get a lot more disciples in my pool workouts, for sure.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. So we're in that slow time still, John, but as you look back to, man, what seems like forever ago since winning the championship and kicking off the offseason, what from your perspective has been the biggest Celtics news?
Ooh, I think they're running it back. Obviously, selling the team, I should say, is probably the biggest news item. But I think the biggest, the other on the court is their willingness to run it back and to pay whatever they have to pay to keep this together. I think that is the biggest story, because it's twofold. It's the biggest news because they trust this team that just won a championship to go out there and be their best chance to do it again. There's nothing from this past year, this past season, that makes you say, well, that was the end of that line, which we'll get to in a couple of years. But the other thing is just the amount of money that they're spending on this team, this whole second apron, this new collective bargaining agreement world, how much they've prepared for this and how they are in a better position than most other teams that also saw this coming. But the Celtics positioned themselves so well that they remain the favorites, while other teams are kind of scrambling and trying to figure out where to maybe cut a corner or try to maybe shoehorn in a new fit. So obviously the biggest outside the court news item is the sale of the team, but the in on the court stuff is the running it back and just all the tentacles from there.
And speaking of the sale, I take it as good news that Fenway Sports Group is not interested or going to be involved.
Yeah, that's get the duck boat parade out for that. Let's run the second one down, Boylston, just for the fact that John Henry has pulled out of that running. I still believe that there's going to be a more internal kind of transition of power. But as we've discussed, there are a few people out there with a ton of money, and you have to do your due diligence to make sure you're not leaving an extraordinary amount of money on the table. It's one thing to say, hey, we've got this plan here, but you do have to put it out there and see if one of these like super mega rich people is going to swoop in with an incredible offer.
Hey, John, whose roles are likely to change at least early in the year with the absence of Porzingis and with the effort to do some load management with Al Horford?
Well, I think you're looking at four guys in particular. Obviously, the three bigs. You've Luke Kornet, Xavier Tillman, and Nemias Keita. I don't know about roles changing necessarily, but roles growing. So I guess that qualifies as a change. They'll all be asked to do a lot more. I like the way the schedule shakes out for the first couple of months. I think it's kind of a best case scenario for them. But I think those three guys are obviously going to be, you know, leaned on heavily. But then there's also Jaden Springer, who no one has really talked about this summer. And I think Springer is going to be in line for a big role. And if he can live up to it, if he can find his jump shot, he's an NBA-ready defender. He's a superior athlete. If he can get that jump shot down and be somewhat reliable from the corners and kind of prove that he's going to be a plus on the floor, that allows the Celtics to maybe go small a little bit more often. You can get away with Jason Tatum at the five against certain lineups. You're not going to throw him out there against Jokic or Embiid or anything like that. But against some of the thinner centers, the more athletic centers out there, like a Bam Adebayo, he can go out there and guard Bam Adebayo. They're basically the same size. So in certain situations where Miami has talent on the wing, you could throw Jaden Springer out there. And I think he's in line for maybe the biggest change in just the fact that he could play some meaningful minutes. That would be maybe the biggest difference this season from last season, is that Springer has an opportunity not to just fill the O'Shea Brissett role, but to actually be a little bit more of a regular part of the rotation.
And John, before we let you go, any highlights for you in the early season schedule? Any games that stand out we should circle on the calendar?
Well, the obvious one is the one in November against Golden State. Mm. I love the fact that Golden State is in town quickly after the Team USA stuff. It's always great to see Steph Curry and those guys come into town. But with Steve Kerr and all the Team USA mess and Jason being benched a couple of games and Jalen being left off the team, I think there's a potential for a revenge game. You know, I think the Celtics might, you know, I don't know if Joe Mazzulla is going to fully buy into that concept, but maybe they look the other way on some of their core concepts and they say, okay, in this one, you guys just, you know, go for it. But I think that's going to be a real big one to watch. They're going to be the hottest ticket of the 2024 portion of the season.
All right, John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal, the Locked On Celtics podcast. John, appreciate you making time for us on the final hours of vacation. Travel safely on that final leg, and we'll catch you again next week.
All right, thanks, my friend.